This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hello again, listeners. I'm Rich Gomez, and this is the Morning Brew for the week ending Saturday, April 27th, 2024. In case you missed it, this past Monday was Earth Day, and a lot had to go right for us to be living here. Earth happens to be located in a remote corner of the Milky Way, a location that presents fewer threats, like a huge star devouring us with its gravity. The star we do have nearby, the Sun, is stable and the perfect distance away to sustain liquid water, and that's very important. When the Sun does send deadly flares our way, they're not calamitous because the Earth's core produces a magnetic field that deflects radiation. The Earth also contains critical elements like oxygen and carbon. Its atmosphere traps heat, but not too much. Has a shield in Jupiter that deflects asteroids and comets from smashing into it. Its moon stabilizes the climate, and its active plate tectonic system produces volcanoes, whose eruptions may have led to the first instances of life. Plus, it's the only planet in the solar system that has Dolly Parton. Now let's take a look at the financial market performance year to date. The NASDAQ is at 15,282. That's up 3.5% on the year. The S&P index is at 4,967, up 4.75% on the year. The Dow Jones Industrials are at 37,986. That's up 0.75%. And 10-year Treasury bonds are trading at 4.615%. They're up 66.9 basis points. Bitcoin is $64,589.52 a coin. That's up nearly 53% on the year. And NVIDIA stock is trading at $762 a share. That's up over 58% on the year. Your stock portfolio is waking up in worse shape than the guys in the hangover. The S&P 500 just had its worst week in more than a year, and the NASDAQ is on a four-week losing streak. Blame skepticism that AI will meaningfully boost profits. Since the NASDAQ peaked last month, the largest U.S. tech companies have lost more than $930 billion in market value. NVIDIA alone lost $212 billion in value on Friday, its biggest plunge since March of 2020. And ExxonMobil is worth more than Tesla for the first time in more than a year. Next, we turn our attention to news about technology, where the TikTok ban just got very real. After years of raising concerns about the mega-popular Chinese-owned app, the U.S. took its biggest step yet to banish TikTok from American phones. The House passed a bill earlier this week requiring a forced sale or ban of TikTok in the U.S. within a year. The bill is expected to get through the Senate as soon as this week and will almost certainly be signed into law by President Biden. But why go after TikTok? Well, lawmakers in both parties consider the app a threat to U.S. national security. Since TikTok is owned by the Chinese tech giant ByteDance, officials fear that the data of TikTok's 170 million U.S. users could wind up in the hands of the Chinese government. There's also concern that Beijing could put its thumb on TikTok's algorithm to promote its interests and influence American public opinion. TikTok maintains it has never sent U.S. user data to the Chinese government and wouldn't do so if it was requested. The app said the bill, quote, would trample the free speech rights, unquote, of its users, and Elon Musk agrees. So how'd this bill gain more support? Well, it had at least two things going for it. It is attached to a $95 billion foreign aid package that will send funds to Ukraine, Taiwan, Israel, and Gaza, making it highly likely to be passed by the Senate. Second, a previous incarnation called for ByteDance to find a buyer within 6 months. This version extends the deadline to 9 months, with room for making it a full year if a sale appears close. But a sale won't be simple. TikTok's price could be in the range of, several hundred billion dollars. And American tech companies with that kind of money, like Meta, Alphabet, etc., would probably be prevented from buying it over antitrust concerns. Individuals including former Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin and ex-Activision Blizzard CEO Bobby Kotick have reportedly been rallying a team of investors to explore bids. Plus, TikTok is China's most successful app globally, and it's not going to give it up easily. Beijing has signaled it's not going to allow a sale by ByteDance, adding further uncertainty to TikTok's fate in the months ahead. Next, we turn our attention to headline news from around the world. Tesla spent the weekend cutting prices. Late Friday, the electric automaker cut prices in the U.S. on its Model Y, Model X, and Model S vehicles by $2,000, and it slashed prices by nearly the same amount across all of its models in China. Last Saturday, it also trimmed the cost of its full self-driving driver assist software in the U.S. from $12,000 to $8,000. The price cuts capped a tumultuous week for Tesla, in which it cut its global workforce by 10%, made moves to restore Elon Musk's gargantuan pay package, and recalled nearly 4,000 Cybertrucks. The company's stock has fallen about 40% this year over concerns demand has fallen off a cliff. And the biggest homelessness case before the Supreme Court in decades begins. The Supreme Court started hearing arguments this week in a hugely consequential case that will decide whether municipalities can punish people for living outside on public property. Should the court overturn the decision of the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, which found ticketing and arresting people experiencing homelessness to be unconstitutional, it would make it easier for communities to remove tent encampments, even if that community doesn't offer shelter. More than 650,000 people in the U.S. are experiencing homelessness, the most since tracking began in 2007. And the U.S. is considering imposing sanctions on the IDF unit. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is expected to announce sanctions on an Israel Defense Forces battalion in what would be the first instance ever of the U.S. sanctioning an IDF unit. The battalion in question, which was formed as a special unit for ultra-Orthodox soldiers, has been under investigation by the State Department since 2022 for alleged human rights violations against Palestinians in the occupied West Bank. Israeli leaders condemned the proposed sanctions. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu called the reports the height of absurdity and a moral low. Next, we turn our attention to news about the automotive industry, where the UAW hopes the dominoes start to fall across the South. The United Auto Workers went to the land of Waffle House and smothered and covered its way to historic victory. Now it's eyeing a bigger foothold in the South, a region typically unfriendly to organized labor. Last Friday, workers at a Volkswagen plant in Chattanooga, Tennessee, overwhelmingly voted to join the union, marking the first time a non-union auto plant in the South has linked up with the UAW. While two previous union votes at the same factory failed, the UAW was able to drum up more support this time, in large part because of the major pay gains it secured last year from Detroit's Big Three automakers. The union hopes to take that pitch to employees at 13 car manufacturers across the U.S., including the South, where many foreign automakers produce cars. But it will be an uphill battle. The union membership rate is 2.3% in South Carolina, 4.6% in Georgia, and 6% in Tennessee, compared to 10% nationally, this according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And Southern GOP leaders say their non-union factories are a big reason why their region is thriving economically. The model down here is working, Georgia Governor Brian Kemp said last week. As we look ahead, the UAW's next test is a union vote at a Mercedes-Benz plant in Alabama next month. Next, let's reach into the Morning Brew's grab bag of fun facts to know and share with a statistic and a quote. First, the statistic. After more than 150 years, J.P. Morgan no longer has a physical presence on Wall Street. According to the Wall Street Journal, the largest U.S. bank closed its branch at 45 Wall Street on Friday, severing its ties to the famed street where J. Pierpont Morgan grew his empire in the 19th century. These days, Wall Street is more of a symbolic term than an actual financial district, since most banks have already decamped to other parts of Manhattan. In 2000, banks occupied 5 million square feet on Wall Street. Now that's shrunk to a couple of 100,000 square feet, according to Cushman and Wakefield. And now the quote. We care more about the safety of our staff than a name attached to an article. In its panning of Taylor Swift's new album, where it gave it a 3.6 on a 10-point scale, Paste magazine chose to put Paste staff on the piece's author instead of the individual who wrote it. That's because following Paste's negative review of Swift's Lover album in 2019, the reviewer in question received threats of violence from fans who disagreed. As for its critique of the Tortured Poets Department, Paste staff said its midness was the result of, quote, when the artist making it no longer feels challenged, where she strikes out looking, end quote. So there you have it. Not everybody loves Taylor Swift. Next, we turn our attention to news about transportation, where high-speed rail is coming to the United States. And no, that's not a joke. Good news for Southern California lovebirds impatient to reach the spontaneous marriage capital ASAP. Construction on a high-speed rail line connecting the LA area and Vegas kicked off earlier this week. Brightline West, a subsidiary of the company behind the Brightline Miami-Orlando Rail Link, is undertaking the $12 billion project, hoping to launch service in time for the LA Olympics in 2028. Billed as America's first true high-speed passenger rail system, Brightline West expects its electric trains to dash between the LA metro area and Vegas in just over 2 hours, compared with a 4-hour minimum traffic-troubled drive. It is also projected to carry at least 11 million passengers on the 218-mile journey per year, with 25 trains each way daily. And it'll be quick, reaching 186 miles per hour. Its locomotives will be the fastest in the country, outspeeding the Amtrak Acela, which makes out at just over 150 miles an hour on parts of the Northeast Corridor between Boston and Washington, D.C. But the U.S. is playing catch-up. The U.S. has been a slow coach in the high-speed rail department, with just a few hundred miles of track that allows for speeds above 100 miles an hour. Meanwhile, in China, about 26,000 miles of high-speed rail have been built since 2008, connecting major population centers and remote parts of the country. The speed on a 1,050-mile train ride from Beijing to Harbin averaged 211 miles per hour as of 2022, according to CNN. Other countries, such as Spain, France, and Japan, also have extensive high-speed rail networks that cover much of their territory. The big picture here? Brightline West isn't the only high-speed train on the way in the U.S. There are multiple rail projects in the works across the country, including an effort to speed up the Acela and a proposed Houston-Dallas link. But many plans don't get beyond the blueprint stage, derailed by cost overruns and legal challenges. Meanwhile, in other headline news from around the world, the first-ever criminal trial of a former U.S. president is underway. Prosecutors kicked off the trial of Donald Trump earlier this week by arguing that the ex-president committed election fraud in 2016 by paying off adult film actress Stormy Daniels to bury an embarrassing story about her relationship with him in the lead-up to the vote. Trump's attorneys countered, "There's nothing wrong with trying to influence an election. It's called democracy." Former publisher of the National Enquirer, who allegedly engaged in catch-and-kill schemes to hide damaging information about Trump, briefly testified as the first witness in the case. Columbia has taken classes virtual amid pro-Palestine protests. Columbia University opted not to have in-person classes this week as tensions rose on campus following the arrest last week of more than 100 protesters calling on a school to divest from companies connected to Israel, and Jewish leaders expressed concern for student safety. It's not the only Ivy roiled in protests. Police arrested 47 demonstrators supporting Palestine at Yale earlier this week. And the Supreme Court appears ready to side with cities regulating homelessness. During oral arguments on Monday, the majority of the High Court seemed prepared to allow cities to ban sleeping outdoors in public spaces, even if they don't provide shelter. The case, considered the most important legal battle concerning homelessness in decades, has created unusual political alliances. Some liberal cities have joined with conservative groups as they tried to address public encampments. But the justices appeared divided along more typical ideological lines, with the conservative judges seeming more sympathetic to an Oregon city's argument that local communities should be able to decide how to handle the problem. Next, we turn our attention to news about streaming, where subscription hopping is the new channel surfing. Faced with rising prices and disappointing shows, an increasing number of Americans are putting a cancel streaming subscription reminders in their Google calendars. The number of serial churners, or cost-savvy customers, who hop between streaming services is on the rise. This according to new data from subscription research firm Antenna. Nearly 30 million subscribers canceled three or more streaming subscriptions in the last 2 years. These customers accounted for about 40% of all new subscriptions and cancellations in 2023. But that doesn't mean they're gone for good. A third resubscribed to the service they canceled within 6 months. As transit subscribers become the norm, streaming services are scrambling to adapt. The planned joint sports venture from Disney, Fox, and Warner Brothers seeks to emulate the success Disney's found from bundling so far. Others are turning to incentives like Peacock. Right before hosting the NFL playoffs this year, the platform offered new subscribers a one-year subscription for half price. The play was successful. The platform scored a big increase in subscribers, but its cancellation rate stayed about average. Meanwhile, at Netflix, which boasts a much lower cancellation rate than any other platform, the company announced last week that it's going to stop reporting quarterly subscriber numbers, citing engagement as a better metric for success. Now let's reach back into the Morning Brew's grab bag of fun facts to know and share with a statistic and a quote. First, the statistic. Things are starting to get back to normal for Emirates after it had to cancel hundreds of flights due to flooding from historic rainfall in Dubai. But the airline still has a major organizational challenge ahead of it. It's got 30,000 pieces of luggage that need to be returned to customers. This goes way beyond just having an AirTag in your bag to help track it down. CEO Tim Clark published a letter over the weekend apologizing to passengers whose plans were disrupted and said a task force has been assembled to deal with the plethora of left-behind luggage. And now the quote. Things already happen outside regular hours, and you need to keep on top of that to some degree. But that's very different to something happening to, say, Apple at 2 a.m. or even 4 p.m. on a Saturday. What do you do then? Your day trader friend, who's always got half an eye on their second monitor when you're trying to have a conversation, could soon become even more distracted. According to the Financial Times, the New York Stock Exchange is polling market participants on whether they're eager to have a 24/7 trading as the SEC weighs a proposal from startup 24 Exchange to open an all-hours exchange. While some may be jonesing to buy stocks at 3 a.m. without any of the currently necessary workarounds, one institutional broker told a newspaper that going always on could create staffing headaches. Next, we turn our attention back to news about the automotive industry, where Tesla's earnings were as bad as everyone predicted. Tesla's pivotal earnings call earlier this week had the vibes of an undergrad at office hours, begging for extra credit after failing every assignment all semester. The automaker whiffed on revenue targets, even after tempering expectations. Yikes. For the first time since 2020, the electric vehicle maker's quarterly revenue dropped, falling to $21.3 billion compared with $23.3 billion for the same period a year ago. Analysts were expecting about $22 billion. Tesla's profits shrunk to a six-year low. The company said earlier this month that it only delivered 386,810 cars in the first quarter, down 8.5% from the same time in 2023. So how has Tesla's fast fall been notched? Well, in late 2021, Tesla hit a $1 trillion valuation, and CEO Elon Musk was the toast of Wall Street. With its stock now lingering near a 52-week low, and after its market cap shed roughly $350 billion during the quarter, the carmaker has become investors' trendy but emotionally draining friend. Some of its most hyped projects have about as much steam as a hotel iron. The company has only delivered about 4,000 Cybertrucks, nearly all of which were recalled last week due to issues with the vehicle's accelerator pedal. The troubles forced Tesla to slash prices faster than a discount furniture store. It announced layoffs for more than 10% of its workforce earlier this month. Tesla also said it would focus on developing a fully autonomous robotaxi, which would likely require massive technological advancements and regulatory approval. But on the bright side, despite the earnings miss, Tesla's stock went up in the after-hours trading, likely because the company vowed to accelerate the launch of more affordable models. It announced it was working on integrating ride-hailing technology into its app in a bid to take on Uber, and that the growth of its energy storage business is set to outpace that of its auto business this year. Meanwhile, in other news from around the world, Spotify made a lot of money in the first quarter. The streaming music giant grew its revenue last quarter by 20% to $3.8 billion on a record $180 million in profit. The smash report comes after Spotify cut costs last year, which included laying off more than a quarter of its workforce. The company also raised prices in 2023 for the first time in a decade, as it further expanded beyond music into audiobooks and other categories. Spotify shares soared about 11% following the news. And X is pivoting to video. The artist formerly known as Twitter launched a video app that is compatible with most smart TVs. The app will not include ads at launch, but could introduce them in the future, X reportedly told its corporate partners in a note. It includes a YouTube-esque trending algorithm and the ability for users to upload their own videos. The move is part of owner Elon Musk's push to turn X into an everything app as advertisers flee the platform. Next, we turn our attention to news about the labor market, where the FTC just made it easier to leave your job. Been stuck in a job you hate because you know too much about your company? Here's some relief. The FTC created a rule last week to ban non-compete clauses, a huge win for workers. But why ban non-competes? The FTC says that non-competes limit worker mobility. They suppress pay and undermine competition by preventing workers from seeking other jobs. Non-competes used to be only for high-paid execs to stop them from taking insider secrets to another company. But in recent years, they've been used in lower-paying jobs too. Before this week's decision, 1 in 5 employees, including C-suite executives, fast food workers, and yoga instructors, fell under these agreements. So why keep them? Well, business groups like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce argue that non-competes help companies, well, compete by, one, protecting their confidential internal information, and two, encouraging them to invest in their workforces, knowing that their employees won't pack up and leave. In swift recourse, the Chamber of Commerce vowed to sue the FTC to block the rule, claiming that the agency doesn't have the authority to regulate competition and that the rule, quote, opens up a Pandora's box, unquote, for the FTC to meddle with other aspects of the economy. Next, we turn our attention to news about technology, where Meta AI says, "What's up? Try me out." Someone's trying to slide into your DMs, but it's not a rando you barely remember chatting up last night. It's Meta AI. Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, and Messenger users are noticing that those apps' search bars now double as AI chatbot prompt windows. Meta AI, the eager-to-chat AI assistant, also appears among DMs and under Facebook posts and can be accessed via a separate site. Powered by the Meta Llama 3 large language model that launched last week, the assistant can pull info from the web, create a trip itinerary, or draft corny captions for your stories. Meta's pushing to stay ahead in the AI race and give users another reason to hang around on its platform. But some people are about as pleased to see AI in their search bar as they are by a pic of their thriving ex in their feed. Social media is flooded with posts from Meta users who don't want to be prompted to interact with AI while searching up reels or other human-generated content. But can it be turned off? Well, Meta says you can't disable AI in search, but you can hide the AI button in WhatsApp by going to your settings, then to chats, then to the Show Meta AI button, and flipping it off. And now let's reach back into the Morning Brew's grab bag of fun facts to know and share, with a quote and a statistic. First, the quote. Incompetent. That's how the city of Baltimore describes the crew of the Dali container ship in a new lawsuit against the owner of the vessel, which crashed into and destroyed the Francis Scott Key Bridge last month. The city alleged that the crew decided to leave port despite knowing that the Dali wasn't fit to sail after a power supply alarm went off. Baltimore also accused the owner, Grace Ocean Private Limited, of supplying, quote, unseaworthy equipment, systems, and appurtenances, end quote. Baltimore wants payment for replacing the bridge and expenses tied to the cleanup and ongoing transportation disruptions. And now the statistic. Everyone, look at the newsletter reader to your left. Chances are that either you or that person had sensitive health information stolen in the massive ransomware attack on United Health subsidiary Change Healthcare earlier this year. According to United Health, the info taken could, quote, cover a substantial portion of people in America, unquote. Change Healthcare, which handles billing at thousands of medical practices across the country, houses data on roughly half of Americans, TechCrunch reported. United Health said it would take months before it knows exactly what was stolen, but there isn't evidence the hackers accessed full medical histories. The ordeal has cost the insurance giant $870 million. Next up, and so it begins. Cicadas are emerging in South Carolina. In Newberry County, their mating calls have gotten so noisy that residents are calling the sheriff's office and wondering why they're hearing a roar of sirens. Remember, cicadas are loud, like as loud as a jet engine. And this year, the U.S. is getting a double whammy, with Brood 19 and Brood 13 emerging together for the first time since 1803. As the weather warms, these insects are going to rise up across the South and the Midwest. That means millions of people are living in areas that experience the path of totality for the eclipse and will experience the path of totality for the cicadas. You win some, you lose some. Next, let's turn our attention back to news about technology and look at how TikTok could avoid a national ban. As Keisha prophesied years ago, TikTok is on the clock to make sure the party don't stop. Last week, President Joe Biden signed into law the controversial new bill that gives TikTok's Chinese parent company, ByteDance, 269 days, or about 9 months, to sell the social media platform or else have it banned in the United States. TikTok's response? Rest assured, we aren't going anywhere. Those were the words of CEO Xiao Chu saying in a video posted soon after the bill became law. TikTok is only considering a sale as a last resort if all the legal challenges it's promising to filing at the U.S. government don't pan out. That means this showdown is likely destined for months or years of court proceedings that could delay the ban from taking effect. TikTok and its users are expected to file lawsuits arguing that a forced sale infringes on the free speech rights of TikTok's 170 million monthly users. TikTok will likely also point to a potential financial harm for creators who make a living off the platform. The U.S. is expected to argue that it isn't violating the First Amendment and or that there's no other way to protect national security and Americans' user data from possibly being tapped by China, which China and ByteDance deny doing. If TikTok's lawsuits fail, there might not be a U.S.-approved buyer that has tens of billions of dollars and isn't a massive tech company already because of antitrust, but government and business leaders are trying to get a gang of investors together to go in on Hampton's timeshare, buy TikTok. Still, China has vowed to block any sale, and it considers the app's precious algorithm to be a critical asset that ByteDance could retain no matter what. And with that story, our time has come to a close. I'm Rich Gomez, and you've been listening to The Morning Brew. Be sure to tune in again next week for another episode of The Morning Brew.